Welcome to In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It is Wednesday, and that means that we have our regular house call from Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Lee, thank you so much for being back here again.
Yes, always a pleasure.
And also joining us, Jenny Vandermeer, who is the acting manager in the Clinical Services Department. You wear a lot of hats, Jenny. Of course, our listeners familiar with your voice. Thank you for being here as well.
Thanks, Bob.
We are going to be chatting with you about infant feeding clinics in just a few minutes. But before we do, we speak with Dr. Lee and get our weekly update. We're going to start with COVID-19. But when it comes to the respiratory infection season, it's really been a tough week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. There really has been a lot of cases. And I should say, you know, in terms of COVID-19, some quick stats, we have had 64 cases identified in the past week. There are 9 people in hospital who have COVID-19 and 1 in the ICU. And so we will be talking, focusing quite a bit on other respiratory viruses today, but I do want to just, as a quick reminder to people, COVID-19 is still here. We are still getting severe outcomes relating to COVID-19.
And really, there was good news because we were down pretty much across the board. The number of hospitalizations go down. The number of new high-risk cases at 64, that's a steep decline, which is great. One in an ICU, we had 2 last week. There were no new fatalities, and the number of outbreaks held steady. So this continues with the trend that you've been talking about things, you know, gradually declining. But as you say, there are other viruses that are making the rounds and causing some problems, and that is what we have become familiar with as the triple threat of COVID, the flu, and RSV. So maybe you could just tell us how things are looking in our area.
Yeah. So as much as we have that COVID-19, much more so, we have flu circulating in our area. So I think everyone is probably familiar with the flu. We have had flu since time immemorial. It does circulate every winter and spring in Canada, and really all across the world. This year, flu is a little bit different from in previous years. For one, during COVID-19, we actually got maybe a little bit in the habit of not seeing the flu. And for another, we are seeing actually earlier circulation of the flu this year and more circulation than we would have had in previous years. And so a lot of people have the flu in our region. I know, for example, specifically in the Brockville Assessment Center, they very fortunately send us some of their information. And what we've seen is that the majority of people who test positive for something when they go into the ER with respiratory symptoms, they are actually testing positive for the flu. And so what we're seeing is some severe outcomes relating to the flu as well, and then just a lot of cases. So the flu does cause, you know, a respiratory illness, cough sometimes, runny nose, sometimes some shortness of breath, oftentimes fever and body aches. For a lot of people, it really knocks you out for a couple of days, and then you're back on your feet, and it's a terrible experience that you think, oh, let's never do that again. For some people, it can be quite serious. People do get hospitalized. Unfortunately, we do also have deaths due to the flu every year. Well, before COVID-19, we would have had deaths. And then a lot more flu. And then during COVID-19, we didn't have that. And so what we're seeing now is really a surge of flu cases. Now, the flu cases in particular for this year, because it does change year to year, is well covered by the flu vaccine. And so one of the things that I talk about every time I'm on the radio is vaccination. And so for flu vaccine, because the coverage is good this year, we do really encourage flu vaccination and urgently right now, because there's so much transmission of flu. Getting that vaccine is one of the strongest measures you can take to both decrease your risk of getting the flu infection and also decreasing the risk of severe outcomes should you get infected.
Now, I know you can't give us any sort of details, but we did report, sadly, to start the week that a child had passed away after being diagnosed with the flu in Lanark Leeds and Grenville. Again, I know that you cannot give us details, but it really speaks to the fact that there is a very serious risk out there. The risks are not as severe for everyone, but in certain cases, we could have a tragic outcome like we saw last week.
Yeah, and so there's two things I wanted to mention here. One is people who are at higher risk of more severe outcomes would include the very young, the very old, those who are pregnant, and those who are immunocompromised. And that's the same as the risk groups for flu in previous years as well. The other thing is, I think, as a person living in this community, it makes me really just want to, my heart really goes out to the family and the community that's affected. And I know certainly for me, it's made me think, hugging my loved ones, my family, and reaching out and giving them a call. I think one of the things it makes me think of is we talk about these numbers every week, and we talk about best practices and all of that. But at the end of the day, there are people affected, and we've been affected by just all what we've had to do as a community, as a society, as individuals over the past 2, 3 years. And there really is a toll of that. And I want to recognize that.
Absolutely. And we've talked about this before. We look at, in the past, it's been the COVID-19 reports, and we see that the number of deaths in any given week can go up by two, three, one, whatever. But we always want to pause and recognize that those numbers represent not only the lives lost, but the families, the people who are affected, as you said, the community, the extended families. And it is very difficult, and it gets to be, I know for you, much more than us who report this, but we have these weekly conversations, and we've been doing this now for well over 2 years. The sympathy that goes out there is genuine, and it's unfortunately the exclamation point on the reminders that you issue as a health unit every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What are the signs that people should look for when they know that it's time that they need to get help more than just the treatment at home? When should they be going to hospital?
Yeah, so people of any age, if people are struggling to breathe, if they're tired to the point where it's hard to wake them or get out of bed. If fever for an extended period of time, so we're talking about 5 to 7 days, all of those are signs to seek medical attention. So that may be going to your family doctor, it may be going to Health Connect and calling them just to check in and see if there's anything further to be done. It may be going to the ER. And so these are all things that are signs of severe illness, but I really do want to also balance that with a reminder that most people do not have severe illness for all of these pathogens. As much as we talk about severe outcomes due to COVID-19, it does include, for example, COVID-19, the risk of severe outcomes, it is not high for everybody. And so RSV as well, and flu as well. Really, for most people, it can be a couple of days bout of illness. Some people have more severe illness than others, and most people do recover. And so I know, for a lot of parents, especially right now, because there's so much flu and RSV circulating among kids, and because sometimes you may be a little bit out of practice, you may have forgotten a little bit because it's been 2 or 3 years since you've had to deal with, sniffles and fevers and just generally feeling crummy for kids. I think the reminder there is to keep an eye on how the kids are doing. And then following what I'd mentioned about red flags, and then seeking medical attention if needed. Other than that, really, it's a matter of waiting until the symptoms do get better, which they almost always do. In the meantime, using cold and flu medications can help. And especially for over-the-counter pain medications, which may help with just feeling better if there's a fever involved.
Okay, and of course, roll up those sleeves. Get the vaccinations, like you had said in weeks past, and Jenny has said it too. The flu vaccination that is out there is a good match for this year.
Absolutely. So the flu vaccine right now is really critical, again, because we have so much flu circulating. And so by the time we have somebody gets vaccinated, it does take a little bit of time to get that immunity from vaccination. And so getting the flu vaccine as soon as possible is really critical. It is not too late to get the flu vaccine. I want to emphasize that because we do have flu still circulating. And so getting that vaccine as soon as possible and really emphasizing that, I think is what I want to get the message out about flu in general today. And then, of course, COVID-19 vaccination as well. We do have falling cases right now, but they will rise over time if the past is anything to go by. And so getting that COVID-19 booster shot now, while we have less transmission, is certainly the ideal time to be getting that vaccine.
And again, if you do want to get your flu vaccination, you don't go to a COVID-19 vaccination clinic. You have to check with your local pharmacy or your healthcare provider. Anyone over the age of 5 can get both the flu and COVID-19 booster vaccinations together. So it's real easy to do, isn't it, doctor?
Absolutely. So, going to your local pharmacy, some will accept walk-ins. Oftentimes, you have to make an appointment or checking with your doctor's office. Those are really key places to get both the flu and COVID-19 vaccines together, one jab in each arm. And then we do have our COVID-19 vaccine clinics still running as well. But again, just as a reminder to people, we don't do the flu vaccine in those clinics because flu vaccination is so widely available elsewhere.
And I got to say, it can be difficult to get the COVID-19 vaccination at your primary healthcare provider just because they need to, when they open a vial, they need to use it all. So it can be a little bit more difficult to get that lined up because they need 10 kids or whatever in any given day to get that done. But these clinics that are being offered by the health unit, that's the route that we went. And I'm just going to say it again, the people are phenomenal and made, my 3-year-old feel very comfortable. And aside from a quick yelp, he was A-okay and had stickers, and it was great fun. He wasn't asking to go back or anything, but it wasn't a negative experience for him. So again, hats off to everyone with the health unit who is doing that, because really it is a very simple process. It takes some stress out of it as well. Before we let you go, Dr. Lee, because I know that you do have to run, very busy today. Was there anything that you wanted to leave our listeners with?
Nope, not today. It's always a pleasure to be here. So thanks, Bob.
You're very welcome, Dr. Lee. We appreciate your weekly visits, and we will talk to you next week. Now, that's a good opening act for Jenny Vandermeer, who has been with us several times before. We've been talking about COVID-19 vaccines and so on with you since pretty much the beginning of the pandemic. But today, you're wearing a different hat as the acting manager in the clinical services department. And we're going to shift gears here. We're going to talk about infant feeding clinics. So I have zero experience with this as far as, you know, I think what you're going to be discussing. So let's get into it. I'll let you take off and tell us, you know, why does the health unit have these clinics in the first place?
Yeah, so nice to be here talking about something non-COVID related, which is,
for sure.
Which is nice. Yeah. So our infant feeding clinics are available so that families have the support that they need to know that their baby is feeding well. And we strongly encourage families to reach out for support early on, even if they think that things are going really well. Gaining support early on can help parents to feel more confident in what they're doing and in their feeding, as well as to know that their baby is healthy and growing well and meeting the developmental expectations that we would want them to be at. It's also an opportunity that if things aren't going so well, and it also isn't always smooth sailing for all parents, regardless if they're first time or fifth time parents, it's important that they can speak with a public health nurse. All of our public health nurses are specially trained in providing breastfeeding support. So we can give them some tips and tricks to get them back on track if they're experiencing challenges. Breastfeeding, I know we've talked pre-COVID, Bob, we've actually had some conversations about breastfeeding
too. I think I know more than I'm letting on, but
definitely have. but there's certainly many health benefits that we've spoken about before for both mom and baby. And this is where we can make that link back to the respiratory season that we're having as well. Is that breastfeeding does offer great protection for the baby. And this is because breast milk is, or antibodies in the breast milk are passed from the mom to the baby. So really important during this respiratory season that breastfeeding does offer optimal protection against various respiratory viruses for these little babes too. And during the pandemic, we've been able to keep all of our infant clinics open, the majority of them open. And we were able to offer both in-person and virtual support to families.
So Jenny, maybe break down the services that parents can expect to find at these clinics.
Yeah, so we offer a variety of supports at our clinics, and we really cater the appointment to the needs and goals of the family. One service that we offer that perhaps not all families know about is that we offer prenatal breastfeeding consultations too. And this is for families who want some additional support or education, or who have questions prior to the birth of their baby. They want to make sure that they get off to a good start when their baby is born. So we'll see those clients prenatally as well. We provide one-on-one support after the baby's born, and we have no age restrictions. So at any point in the feeding journey, families are welcome to access our clinic. And we'll do, you know, things such as helping to make sure that the position and the latch is working well, so that moms are comfortable, the babies are feeding well. We do lots of teaching in our consultations on signs that the baby is feeding well, how to recognize that the baby's feeding well. We'll navigate through any challenges that the parents may be having, and we'll work on a care plan that is manageable for the parents to cope with when they get home. We do lots of teaching on feeding cues as well. So parents know the signs that their baby is hungry and the signs that their baby is full. It seems very simple, but it's one of those things that can really make a big impact on the success of feeding as well. And it's an opportunity for families to ask questions about their feeding, making sure that everything is going well and that they're feeling confident. And we support families with making informed decisions about how to feed their baby as well. So we will support families on how to safely feed their baby, regardless of the feeding method that they choose.
And it's really important, too. You walk them through everything, like any scenario. So I think what is really comforting here is people may come in there thinking, okay, I have one way that I can do this, but you really open up a bunch of doors.
Yeah, we offer some different suggestions and tips, lots of great resources. We can offer videos and print resource that might help them to see different techniques and positions that might work for them as well.
That's really cool. It is. And again, you know, teaching them to recognize the signs, and these babies, they do communicate with us, but it's just a little bit differently than we do.
That's right. Yeah. So it's picking up on those little cues of what they're doing with their hands that can tell us lots of things. So it allows parents to just have that confidence in knowing what their baby's trying to tell them.
Once they get comfortable, you must get tons of questions.
We do, yeah. And like I said, we see babies of all ages. So it could be within the first couple of days that they're home from the hospital, and it could be 6 months down the road when they're starting to introduce solid foods. And how does that affect breastfeeding at that point in the journey as well? So a gamut of questions, and we're happy to answer any of those through our clinics as well.
Not to put you on the spot, but how do you make a 3-year-old eat? Okay, you don't
That's
have
a whole other separate conversation. We've got
to
resource. We have resources for that, though,
answer.
too.
I know you do, as a matter of
Yeah,
fact.
we do.
Okay, well, that's all that aside, of course. So, where are these clinics being held in Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville, and how can people sign up?
Yeah, so we're running currently out of several of our office spaces in Elmont, Brockville, Smiths Falls, and Kempville. And we are thrilled that this week we reopened our Carlton Place site, which is at the Karenbeck Community Centre. And this was one of the sites that we did have to close down during COVID just because it was in a municipal space. But we were happy that this week we started opening that back up on Tuesdays. Carlton Place and Elmont are two quickly growing communities, lots of young families, and lots of those families accessing supports there. So we're thrilled that we'll be able to offer additional support to families in that area. And we're always looking at expanding to other communities as our capacity allows. Throughout COVID, of course, we've had lots of staff doing COVID-related work, and we're really working on getting staff back to doing their pre-COVID work. And as our capacity allows, we're looking at expanding into some other areas as well.
Yeah, and that's great because the towns that you've listed there, they're all pretty close, but there are people who don't have access to transportation and they just can't get to those. But don't fear, you will be able to help those people as well.
Yes, absolutely. So we will support all families in, how to safely feed their baby, again, regardless of feeding method. Parents can call us at our help at the 1-800 number, 1-800-660-5853, to speak with a public health nurse. We can do an assessment over the phone. Lots of questions can be answered right over the phone. Like I said, we have great videos and resources that we can share with parents as well. And if there's additional supports and things that are needed, and families meet the criteria, they can also be referred to the Healthy Babies, Healthy Children program, which is a home visiting program. So that's another option for families that may meet those requirements as well. We also have, lots of information on our website for families to access too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that website is perfect for, in the days before the baby comes, or even when the baby's there and napping. It's some great reading, and it really helps you, especially in those early days and weeks, because that's when you really discover what help you're going to need, and what you know and what you don't know. So going to the website can really help point you in the right direction.
Exactly, yeah, and just a little plug too for our prenatal population. So, since COVID hit, we haven't been able to run our in-person prenatal program. So we have a fabulous online prenatal program. It's free, and lots of information on infant feeding in that program as well. So all of that information is on our website, healthunit.org as well.
It always amazes me just how much help there is out there, being provided by the health unit and other health partners as well around here. I know you all work together to get this out there. You all have that common goal, but it's great. The resources are almost unending. It's always great to speak with you, Jenny. I really appreciate it. Any last words for our listeners before we let you go?
I think just the key message is reach out to us early on. I think a lot of new parents kind of struggle in those early days and think that that what they're going through is normal. And it could be. But come and check with us, give us a call. All of our infant feeding clinics are by appointment only. So you have to call the 1-800-660-5853 to make an appointment. But just check in with us, and it could just be that everything's going well, and we could give you some good tips that will make things easier for you in those early days as well.
The website is healthunit.org. We've been speaking with Jenny Vandermeer, Acting Manager in the Clinical Services Department. Jenny, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks so much, Bob.
And of course, our thanks go out to Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health, who joined us a little bit earlier. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening to In Focus. Have a wonderful afternoon.